Okay.
Okay. So they left off enough Mem Gimel on the Aleph. Mem Gimel on the Aleph, Amar Rava. It's about 3, 6 lines from where the lines get wide. Mem Gimel on the Aleph, the first word line is low. So the Gemara was discussing the possibility, according to some, the impossibility of being Mekadesh, either a Chatzi Isha or a man being Mekadesh, a woman to half of himself. So the Gemara has the following observation. Amar Rav, Kishem Shemekadesh Chatzi Isha Ein Mekadeshes. Just as it's a given that one cannot be Mekadesh a Chatzi Isha, the Torah says that explicitly in Maseches Kedushin. The Torah says, Kika Chishisha. So it's either all or nothing. So just as it's impossible to be Mekadesh Chatzi Isha, Kachetzi Shivcha V'chetzi Baschorin Sheskachi Kedusha Kedushin. So too, if you try to be Mekadesh a woman who is half free and half Shivcha, also the Kedusha would not be valid. For the same reason that someone who is a Shivcha, of course, does not have the ability to accept Kedusha. Someone who is a Baschorin, of course, does. And therefore, in effect, what you're doing, be Mekadesh, the half and half lady, is that you're being Mekadesh, half a woman? Like most of that's not going to work. So Dorish Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and Rabba Rav Huna gave a similar drasha. Kishem she mekadesh chatzi isha ein mekudeshes, kachet yeshiv kachet baschor and shiskach ein mekudeshes. It's identical to what we said before. Just as you can't be mekadesh a half a woman, so too you can't be mekadesh someone who is a chatzi chatzi. Omer Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda questioned and said, Midami, are these two cases similar? Hasab shir bikinyano, hachalo shir bikinyano. In the case where you come to a woman, standing under the chuppah, you go to Rachel and you give her a ring and say, I only want to marry half of you. So you are holding off half of her. It means you're being b'shayer b'kinyano. You're leaving out part of what you should have been able to acquire.
They're not married or they're fully married?
No, they're not married at all. Nothing. Zero. Nothing happens. So, but over here, when you're mekadesh echatzi shivchat, you gave whatever you could. Half of her is not subject to marriage. So the two cases are not the same. Okim Rabba Mar Rav Huna Amora Alei B'Dorish. Rabba Rav Huna realized that what he said was incorrect. Rav Chisda's distinction was in fact accurate, and Rabba Rav Huna wanted to retract. So he asked his Amora to retract from Amora. We use the term Amora as someone who appears in the Gemara. That's the colloquial term Amora. But the actual original term Amora was the word Amar, was the person who would say over the Shia. The person would say Shia. There'd be hundreds and thousands of people. There were no microphones. There were no Zooms or nothing. So it was Rachmanis and the Rashiva's voice. So the Rashiva would talk slowly, you know, he'd talk low in a low tone. And then you'd have somebody, a strong guy, would go walk around the masses and scream out and say what the Rashiva had said. So Rabbi Rav Huna is sitting in a very quiet, on this little table, and he's saying over, oh yeah, what I said before was not right. And then the Amora went around and published it to everybody. So Vidarish, he gave the following statement. But before he explained that he backed out, he gave a little bit of a drush. The Pasuk says in Yeshayahu that like a mikshel, like a stumbling block, that when you make something, you make a mistake. So ein adam omid al divrei Torah elam kein nichshel behem. A person doesn't get it right in divrei Torah unless you first make a mistake. Because everyone, we're all human, we have to make mistakes. And Rashi explains, forget that sometimes making mistakes will actually help you in the future. Because if you make a mistake and then you realize your mistake, so you realize you have to do more diligence, you have to think it through a bit, work a little harder next time around. So that's gonna force you to actually come to the correct conclusion later on. So comes Rabbi Rav Huna and says, what I said before was not correct. After, but the emphasis is as follows. Even though it's true that if you try to mekadesh a half a woman, that is not going to work. But if you mekadesh a woman who is half shivcha, half baschor, that will work. My time, what's the difference? What Rav Chisda corrected him. Over there, in the case of the chatzi isha, the person left over something that was eligible for kedushin. Whereas over here, he did whatever he could. She's only half a woman, so he gave her whatever he could. Amr of Sheshes, Kishem Shemakadish Chatzi Isha and Mekudeshes. So Sheshes says, no, back to what we started before. Just as Mekadish Chatzi Isha is no good, Kachet Yeshiv and Chetz Maschor and Shiskach Mekudesh Kedushin. It's the same thing. It means that basically you cannot be Mekadish her. But now Rav Sheshes says, someone's going to ask me the following question. Like a poetic way of saying, when someone's going to whisper into your ear, that's a nice way of saying someone's going to tell you that you're wrong. So someone's going to whisper into your ear, what do you mean that you can't have a person who's a half Mekudeshes? Eizu Shivcha Charufa. We spoke about this many times. The classic case of Shivcha Charufa. The woman who's partially freed and she's so now she's bezara with somebody else. So in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah tells us that there's a whole parsha about the woman who's a chati, or and she's bezara with somebody else, and they're not really chavisa, they have to be, he has to be a korban, etc. So how do you have such a case? The Torah speaks about such a scenario of a chati shiv chati moshes kacha. So says Rav Sheish, I'm telling you, you can't have such a kedushin, and someone's going to whisper it into your ear. I could be maybe said in Parshas Kedoshim, we see it exists. So Ezechim Charuf is a chet, Shishim Chum Shechatz Charuf, Shem Aras Nevin Ivri. Ambas is to say, you see from the very institution of Shem Charuf that such a katzim exists. Emor lo, if somebody whispers that into your ear, tell him the following. Kalechetz a Rabbi Shmuel, go to Rabbi Shmuel. What? Shehu oim Rabbi Shivcha Kenai Nisam Aras Nevin Ivri. Rabbi Shmuel held, different from everybody else, Rabbi Shmuel held, that a Shivcha Charufa is not a half and half. A Shivcha Charufa is a complete shivcha who is quote unquote married to an Eved Ivri. What does that mean? She's married to Eved Ivri. Shivcha kenais basis ruzi. It's impossible. Everybody agrees you can't have kedusha with the shivcha. But ma'aslach lemeima. What you must say is my restus miuchedes. Okay, now my restus miuchedes. When the Torah speaks about shivcha rufa, it doesn't mean there was a formal kedusha. Kedusha is not tefsir under these circumstances. It just means that she's living together with him as husband and wife. So the Torah recognizes that relationship of a person, the man and woman living together as man and wife, even though they're not really formally married. And therefore, you don't see anything at all from the parasha of Charufa. So back to square one, if I were to ask you, what's the din of a chatzi shiv and chatzi mezcharin? Is kedushin no sin? The answer is we don't know. We're not sure. That Rav Chisda said that it would be, and Rav Sheish said that it won't be, and Rav said everyone I want to say about the topic. So now Rav Chisda makes the topic even one step more advanced. I'm Rav Chisda. Two answers. The bottom of Rav Chisda. Chetzi shivcha, the chetzi baschorin. If you have a chetzi shivcha and a chetzi baschorin, she niskashel Reuven. So she was married to Reuven. Now we don't know whether that marriage took place because on the one hand it's a chetzi isha, so that would lead us to believe no kedushin. On the other hand, he did whatever he could. That will lead us to conclude that it would be valid. So we're not quite sure what to do with this woman. But then nishtachara, and then she gets freed, and we're scratching our heads trying to figure out what's the story. Is she married? Is she not married? Half married? A lot of options. Because of nishtachil Shimon. And then she goes ahead and she accepts kedushin from Shimon, just to make matters even more labor thick. Shimon happens to be Reuven's brother. So now all of a sudden we're going to see how Mesechus get them Mesechus Tushim Mesechus Yavamas. We're all going to merge together into one big chulin. So here you have this woman. This would be like, you know, we had the charts on the board. We have to draw this out.
What's a chazer of this kacha? What does that mean?
It means it's a way of speaking that originally she was married to Reuven. So now she went ahead and did something else, which is almost like if you were married to Reuven, what you do? What do you get married to Shimon for? It's almost like chazara from what you did.
Right, it was chazer, and then she got married back to.
Yeah, no. It doesn't mean chazer like to return back. So now you have this woman who has the following status. So we'll call her Rachel now. So Rachel received kedushin from Reuven, but we have no idea whether the kedushin was really valid. Then she received kedushin from Shimon, but we're not quite sure whether those kedushin are valid. Why? Because if Reuven's kedushin were valid, then Shimon's kedushin is not valid. So we have a woman who's scratching her head and wondering what's her status. So she's coming to ask us a shaila: am I married? Am I not married? And if I'm married, who am I married to? I'm either married to brother number one or to brother number two. And then to make matters even more wild, umesu shneim. And now both brothers die. This is like Yevamos, you know, par excellence. So both brothers die.
Simplifies a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, these are one of those examples where when you learn, you know, the first 50 blots of sex Yevamos, you come to the realization that Chazal never really meant that these cases happen. These are not things that are really going to happen. But these are cases that can just fine tune our logic and have us understand, appreciate principles in halacha. They're really, really good for forcing us to think out of the box a little bit. I remember I was learning Maseches Yevamos in Kerem Yavne. She was learning something else. I was learning Yevamos on the side. And I was learning the third parak of Yevamos. The third parak of Yevamos starts out with Arba Achin Nesu and Arba Achoyos. four brothers are married to four sisters, and then two of them die and married. So it's a whole, whole complicated story. So I remember Reb Lachman, if everybody knows Reb Lachman, a famous Rebbe in Kerem Yavis for many years. So I remember he gave me a little pat on the back, and he said to me, "You picked the real halacha ma'aser sugya to learn today. You know, the four brothers, not the four sisters." So here we have this woman who may be married to Reuven, may be married to Shimon, and now both Reuven and Shimon die, and now she falls to Levi. Levi's the brother, and the question is, can Levi do Yibam on her or not? So why would we think that Levi can't do Yibam on her? Because there happens to be a halacha tucked away in the third Pesach of Sechaz Yevam, as follows. What's called Eisha Shnei Mesim. How can a person be married to two people? In the following very, very unique way. Let's say Reuven marries Rachel. They've been married for 20 years. It's fine, but they don't have any children. And then Reuven dies. And now she falls to the remaining brothers, to Shimon, Levi, whoever else. And she has supposed to do Yibum Achalitza with one of them. So Shimon is planning on doing Yibum to her. But before you do Yibum, there's a din that you have to do what's called Maimer. He has to be Mekadisha first. He has to give her a ring first and say, Areyat, you know, Kadeshasli, the Maimer, or Azu. It's a special Kedushin that's actually not required in Torah. In Torah, there's no such thing as Kedushin with your Yavama. In Torah, you just do Yibum B, and that's it. You become married just like that. But the Rabban and Chazal thought that it's not very tenua, it's not very appropriate that they shouldn't have some kind of a ceremony before. So Chazal made up, literally a made-up marriage. So they have a Kedushin together, and then they subsequently do Yibum. So here's the timeline. Reuven dies without any children. Shimon does Maimer on this woman, and then Shimon dies before he completed the job, before he completed Yibum. Now, Nebuchadnezzar falls to Levi. So if you think about it, she's quote-unquote married to two people. I mean, she was married. Well, yeah, now she's married. Both husbands are no longer alive, but she was married to two people. She was married to Reuven, who was her real husband. She was quote-unquote married to Shimon through Kedusha Maimer, and now she falls to Levi. So the Gemara is a Jerusha, which at the end, the Gemara says, it's really only been the Rabbanan most of the time, was called Eishas Shnei Mesim. That the Torah says, Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav Umeis Achad Mehem Uvein Enlo. When one husband dies, then you do Yibum. When both quote-unquote husbands die, you don't do Yibum. So that woman, back in the third Bethlehem, says, Yivamas, does not you do Yibum. She has to Chalitza. She doesn't get off without anything, but she has to Chalitza. So here, Rav Chisda is raising the question that maybe this girl over here is also a quote-unquote Eisha Shnei Mesim. Because it's a little bit of a different model, but here she received Kedushin from Reuven first time around, but she was a Chatzi Shifcha Chatzi Mitzchon, so we didn't know what to do with her. Then she receives Kedushin second time around after the Shichur from Shimon, and they're both brothers. So if you think about it, in a certain sense, she has quote-unquote two husbands. So is that true? So Rav Chisda says it's not true. Mishyeh Bebes the Levi. She can do Yibum to Levi. Why is that at the top of the base? There ain't any Kerb Eisha Shnei Mesim. That is not a case of Eishah Shnei Mesim. It looks like it resembles it a little bit, but it's actually not the same. Manav Shach, why is it not the same? E Kedushin de Reuven Kedushin, Kedushin de Shimon Lav Kedushin. If Reuven's Kedushin is valid, then Shimon's is not valid. The Kedushin de Shimon Kedushin, Kedushin de Reuven Lav Kedushin. And if Shimon's is valid, then Reuven's is not valid. It's not the same as the first case. The case in Yavam is there was a halachically binding marriage and there was a halachically binding Maimer. And now we're in a pickle. What to do with this woman? She's an Eishah Shnei Mesim. Here, there are no two halachically binding marriages. There's one. We just don't have a clue which one it is. So that's not called an Eishah Shnei Mesim. And the Afomi Manashach. Either she's Reuven's wife or Shimon's wife. And Levi is the brother of both. She can go ahead and do Yibum, perfectly acceptable to Yibum to the third person. So now the Gemara continues with another aspect of the sugya. Itmar. Chetzi Shivcha v'chetzi Baschorin. She has Kachel Reuven. So you have a woman who's a chatzi shiv chatzi mescharin, and she received kedushin from Reuven, v'nishtachara, and then she was freed. V'chozum and iskachil l'shimon, and then she went ahead and received kedushin from Shimon. So if you think about it, she had kedushin from Reuven already. So, but that kedushin was a very, very shaky kind of a kedushin. At the moment that she was freed, what happened to that kedushin? So that kedushin cannot remain in limbo. It can't remain as a half kedushin. Let's say it's a half kedushin. Something has to happen with that kedushin at the moment that she's free. The problem is there are two different things that could happen. Either that kedushin can now transform to become a full kedushin, or by itself it goes from 50 to 100, or it actually disappears into thin air. It ceases to exist. So Gemara now has two different possibilities. So Rabbi Yossi Bechaba Rav Nachman Papu Kedushin Rishon. Rabbi Yossi Bechaba said in the name of Rav Nachman that the first kedushin are gone, goodbye. They can't exist. They can't exist in the world of a half kedushin. That's not an option. They cannot spread to become full kedushin. There's no mechanism to do that. So, leis breira, They just simply disappear into thin air.
They don't exist before the shechar.
Well, they did exist before the shechar as a half kedushin because she was only a chati shechar chatz mesharet. Now when she's fully freed, so now you can't have a possibility of being married to half a woman. That doesn't exist in halacha. The only possibility is if she's a half shifra, half mascharid, then you're married to all of her that's eligible for kedushin. But when she becomes freed and fully eligible for kedushin, to have a woman put in her status, I'm 50% married, doesn't exist. That concept doesn't exist in halacha. So you got to go in one of two directions. So if Yossi Bechama reported the name of his Rebbe, Rav Nachman, that the kedushin disappears, Rebbe Zeiram, Rav Nachman, gomu kedushin rishon. And Rabbi Zeiru was also the Shia, except he said his Rabbi said the other thing. So apparently Rabbi Nachman was back and forth about this. Rabbi Nachman was sitting around a table, and I can't say that he had a Zoom on at the time. He was sitting around a table with Tamidim and talking out the different possibilities here, that either the Kiddusha becomes full or becomes zero, and different Tamidim understood different points of the Shia. I guess, you know, when I give Bechina, to 30 guys, I got 30 different answers to the same question. I guess it happens, you know, that different people hear different nuances. So comes the Gemara and says, "I'm Rabbi Zeira Kavasei Di Mistabra." So Rabbi Zeira says that what I said is actually more logical. That my presentation that the kedushin complete all by themselves, that makes more sense. How do I know that? Based on a pasuk, this all goes back to Pashas Kedoshim. Dechsev Lo Yimsu Ki Lochu Pasha. In the illustration of a Shivan Charufa, who is the case of the Chati Shivan Chasmas Charin. So you have a woman who received kedushin on half for herself. And the Torah says if somebody else was mezan with her, that he's not chayavisa. It was an aveira. You have to be a korban osham. It makes honorable mention every day in our kavanas. Osham shem charufa. So we speak about it all the time. But the Torah says he's not chayavisa. She's not chayavis misa. Why is that? Lo yumsu ki lo chupasha. The implication is that hachupasha yumasu. That if she would be freed, so then they would be chayavisa. It sounds like nothing else happened, just that she wasn't freed. But the minute that she's freed, if the znus would happen after the freedom that was granted, then there would be a chiyamisa. That makes it sound like the kedushin just transforms to become 100% kedushin all by itself. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, that's not the right pshat in the pasuk Chumash. That l'tan de Rebbe Yishmol, according to Bakhtam, and Aleph, tan de Rebbe Yishmol, the Amar, b'shifra k'nayin sam arrestas devet every. Remember, according to Rebbe Yishmol, a shifra charufa wasn't even half and half. It was a regular plain old Shifcha Kenainis who was quote unquote married to an Eved Ivri. She wasn't really married. It's a joke. You can't have marriage with a Shifcha. It just meant they were living together as husband and wife. So, would you say, according to Rabbi Yishmael, on the minute that she gets freed, she becomes a full fledged Eishes Ish? Based on what? What mechanism? There was no Kedusha in the first place. So, obviously, so what is Taich? What's Pshat in the Pasuk Chumash? Shechupasha. The chazra of this katsha. You have to learn the right pshat and pasuk. Everything revolves on article translation of the phrase. Lo yimsu ki lo chupasha, according to Bishmal, means that she wasn't freed, but if she would be freed and subsequently accept kedushin, a small little paragraph into the pasuk, then and only then you musu. So too with the half and half. It doesn't mean she was freed of the kedushin, became hocus pocus, full kedushin. It means she was freed. And then she re-accepted the kedushin, and then and only then she's chayavas misa. So when all this ends, we would think that this whole discussion is theoretical. What kind of crazy, we've been spending three vlogs talking about a chatzi ever, chatzi shivchas. Who would think this stuff ever happened? Believe it or not, the Gemara tells the story. Am Ravuna bar Ketina Rav Yitzchak, Maisa b'isha achas, shechetz yeshivcha v'chetz yemeschayun. There was such a woman who was a chetz yeshivchas, even because a master for half of her, or perhaps more likely, she had two masters. One of them decided to free and one didn't. So now we have a live walking around, walking and talking, a chatzi shivcha, a chatzi mischarit. So no one necessarily accepted kedushin, and no one's husband died, but we don't have all those details. But there really was truly such a case. And here was the problem. The kafu es rabba v'yasar bat schorin. So the chachamim in that time, in that generation, forced the master to actually free her. We do not want to have such a woman walking around. Questions, why not? What's so terrible? So we know way, way back in the Memalev, this whole thing you started back at the Memalev, that the institution of the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, for a man is a big problem. Why? Because he's in a pickle in terms of his shidduch prospects, because he can't marry anybody. And you have half Eved and half Ben Chorin, who's he going to marry? He can't marry a regular Jewish girl because he's half an Eved. He can't marry a Shivcha because half of him is free. For him not to marry at all is a terrible thing. Peru, Shabbos, he's supposed to have children. So Chazal made a takana for such a person. This was actually Beis Shammai's takana that Beis Hillel eventually bought into. Chazal made a special takana when you have a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, we force the master to free him, and then we'll reimburse him. Tell the eved, listen, we're going to give you your freedom, but you know, you have to write an IOU, you have a promissory note to your master. You eventually you work, you get some money, and you buy yourself back. You reimburse the master. But we're not going to tolerate to have a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin walking around because it's impossible to perform peruvu. So the same thing happened for chatzi shimcha, that they forced the master to free her. So the Gemara asked, wait a second, why did you do that? We paskin that women are not chayavos in peruvu. So what would the world wouldn't come to an end? So she won't have any children. She won't have any children. So the Gemara, no. Come on, could be echlem and breika. There was a machlekes atenoyim in the sixth parak of Maseches Yevamos. Who is obligated in the midst of peruvu? So we know that we pasken only men. How do we know that only men are chayav in peruvu? Because the pasuk says v'chivshua. It links the idea of peruvu to the idea of conquering the world. Chivshua, the army, the fight. That's something that usually speaks to men. So according to the chacham, when we pasken, women are exempt from peruvu. The Rishonim write that the woman that Iran writes in some solution that a woman has a tremendous, tremendous mitzvah of helping her husband perform the mitzvah peruvu, but it's not her personal mitzvah proper. So comes Rabbi Yochman, broke and disagrees. He says, no, it's not true. That women are chayavos the same extent as men in peruvu, because the pasuk is written by Lashon Rabbim, pru urvu umulis oretz. It speaks to both the Adam and the Chava. So the Chacham say the chivshua is written by Lashon, you know, Yochid, and chivshua only refers to the men, but Rabbi Yochman broke and disagrees. So it must be that this story of where the Chachamim forced the other master to free his share of the Shibcha, it must be because they were being followed the view of Rabbi Yechon Breike that women have to get married and have children as well. But it's not necessarily. I'm Rabbi Nachman. The reason why they forced the master was a totally different reason. Because he had this woman walking around who was a half free and half Shibcha, and she can't get married. So if she can't get married, it means you have a single girl walking around with nobody to watch over, nobody to take care of her. So we need this to say that's going to lead to a mikshah. People are going to take advantage of her. People are going to start up with her. People are going to potentially be mizana with her. And therefore, the Chacham thought this was just a bad public policy, bad for her, bad for us. And therefore, they forced this person, the master, to free her. But in terms of the actual mitzvah peruvu, that wasn't in fact the case. So now the Mishnah continues with more halachas relating to avodim. Hamocha avdol of the kichavim. If a person sells his Evet Kanaini to a non-Jew, so that's not a good thing to do. Why? Because an Evet Kanaini is chayim in most mitzvahs. He has to keep Shabbos, he has to keep kashrus. It's true that he doesn't have to do the mitzvahs that the generous mean that women don't do. He doesn't wear tefillin, doesn't have to kriya shma, doesn't have to shof. That's true. But many of the mitzvahs, all the low says like women he's obligated, even many mitzvahs say he's obligated. So you're going to sell him off to a non-Jewish master. How's he going to keep Shabbos? How's he going to keep kosher? So you're not allowed to do that. So not only are you not allowed to do that, but Chachamim made a penalty on you and said, if you did that aveira and you sold your Evet off to a guy, you have to go and buy him back. And even if the guy's smart, he's going to hike up the price. He's going to jack up the price. He flipped the property, flipped it back to you. So the Mishnah says, tough. You have to go spend a lot of money. You shouldn't have done that in the first place. Oh, the chutz laretz. Or if you sell off your Evet Kanani to chutz laretz, also the same thing. But here, the Evet Kanani wants to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the right place to be. He wants to keep the mitzvahs. He wants to be at a high level of kedusha, live in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah to his bars, etc. And you're taking away that advantage from him. So you have to get him back to Eretz Yisrael. So yet to ben chayrin. So if either one of those things happen, so you have to buy him back and then free him. So you're gonna lose big. You're gonna lose big time for violating those isurim.
Why is the
Rashi in Baruch Min Avi Kicham? Well, obviously it's only if he runs away. If the guy's not interested in freeing him, he can say tomorrow yatzel chayrus.
No,
originally
it's a different verse. Oh, yatzel chayrus. Yeah, I've noticed that even. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Right, it's a different word. Yeah, I mean, it's the same idea. It could be Rashi had a different gear, so I'm not sure. So, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Mocha Avdol of the Kichavim, Yatzel Echeres. So he goes free. Vitzorich get Shichom Rabbi Rishon. The only thing is that he has to get a document from his original master, because he's really technically has the status of an Evet Kanaani. And the only way for him to then go be able to marry a Jewish girl to be fully free. So don't forget in all the excitement, all the drama of getting back out of the goy, don't think you can get away without writing Mishnah Shichur. Make sure to write that Mishnah Shichur for him.
When he gets him back, he's not going to be his
Evet. He's everywhere, right. He's going to have to free him, right. Like that was the knas, that was the penalty for doing this aveira. He's going to lose his eved, right? But he has to free him. He has to give him the formal document of freedom. When do we say that we insist that the master, the original Jewish master, writes a document to free him? Shulah Kossel of Ono. That's if he didn't write his original Ono. Ono was a Greek word, which was a description of a document. Of a Kossel of Ono Zeshichuro. But if he wrote an original document to him at the time that he sold him off to the non-Jew, so then that will serve as a Shtash Shichur. My Ono, what in the world did he write to the original, at the original time? Amr of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, Rome the following. The Kossel of Lehochi. Really nice guy, this Jewish master. So Jewish master says, I'm selling you off to this non-Jew, which I'm not supposed to do. And I'm getting a nice pocketing, a nice profit off of you. But here, if by some chance you luck out and you can run away, so then I'm giving you a document I have nothing to do with you anymore. So I'm not going to come after you anymore. So Shimon Galil basically says, so that's a Shtash Shechur. I said that Nusach, that Lashon, can double as a Shtash Shechur. So the bottom line is, what any of these cases where the person did what he wasn't supposed to do, he sold him to a goy, he sold him to chutzarts, so it was an Aveira, and we penalize him, and we try as best as we can to get this Eved back. Now, it's not always so easy. The goy may not want to cooperate, so whatever, we'll try to do whatever we can to get this Eved back, and then subsequently free him. We have to remember that the first master must write a Shtash Shechur, unless he wrote something which was the halach equivalent of a Shtash Shechur in the first month. We mentioned next time, so we'll continue the Gemara's couple of nuances of Rice and some details that relate to this idea of selling above them to goy. Okay, stop.